thought about that as an invitation song, 167. And then 224, song before the prayer tonight. As I journey here mid the toil and tears, there's a rainbow in the sky. Lead, lead, I must have no fear. There's a rainbow in the cloud. There's a rainbow that is shining. There's a rainbow in the cloud. When life's race is run and the victory's won, there's a rainbow in the cloud. After storm and rain, fields of golden grain, there's a rainbow in the cloud. Winter's cold and pain, summer's harvest grain, there's a rainbow in the cloud. There's a rainbow that is shining. There's a rainbow in the cloud. When life's race is run and the victory's won, there's a rainbow in the cloud. When the storms all pass, comes a brighter day. It's a rainbow in the cloud. In that city fair, there's a crown to wear. There's a rainbow in the cloud. There's a rainbow that is shining. There's a rainbow in the cloud. When life's race is run and the victory's won, there's a rainbow in the cloud.
Let us pray. Our most gracious and loving and kind Heavenly Father, we come before you, Father, thankful for the day that you've given us and for the time that we've been able to gather together to study your word, to sing songs of praise to your name, Father, and to hear a message to be brought from your word. Father, we are so thankful for the many blessings in this life you've given us. Most importantly, Father, we're so thankful for your Son, for your love for us that you allowed your Son to come to this world to live a perfect life and to give that life on the cross for our sins, that through his shed blood we can have that hope of remission of our sins and that hope of eternal life. Father, as we come before you, we humbly pray for your forgiveness for those things that we've done wrong in your sight. We pray that you would help us to recognize those things, that we would turn from them, that we would repent of those things, Father, and that we would follow after your word and after the example that your Son gave us. Father, we are so mindful of all those that are sick, that are dealing with affliction at this time, Father, and we're especially mindful of Cheryl at this time. We pray your hand will be upon him. We pray that you would, if it be your will, that you'd give him a better portion of his health. Father, we're mindful of those that have lost loved ones due to the severe weather. Father, we pray for them, for comfort for them at this time, especially for those, Father, whose families were killed but have that hope of eternal life with you. We pray that you would comfort those families with that great hope, Father, that while this life may be over, there is something greater beyond this life that we look for, and we hasten the day to come to be with you and your Son in your kingdom. Father, we pray for those that are traveling at this time. We pray your hand will be upon them, that you give them a safe journey. Father, we are so mindful of our military, especially those that are serving in harm's way. Father, we pray for their safety and we pray for their speedy return home. Father, we pray for this nation. We pray for the leaders of this nation. We pray for them to look to you for guidance in how to lead this nation, that we can turn from some of the things that have been that have gone on, that we can again be that shining light on the hill, that we can that others will know that we trust in the Lord God Almighty. Father, we pray that you go with us through the furtherance of this time of worship to you. We pray that we the things we do, that we do them in truth and in spirit, and that we would go out into the world, Father, and that we would show forth your Son in the way we live our lives. And we pray all these things through the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Would you turn with me again, please, to Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1, one of the passages we looked at in our adult auditorium class tonight. Mark chapter 1. For just those couple that weren't in here earlier and the children that didn't get to hear that story talked about tonight, we were talking about Jesus working in Galilee early on in his ministry. And Mark records that in verses 14 and 15 of chapter 1 that Jesus did some very specific things when he was in Galilee. It says, when John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. And the way that he taught that gospel was by saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. And we discussed in our class how that we should always define the gospel as the good news of Jesus Christ. And with the particular connection in this verse of Jesus talking about the kingdom, it's the kingship of Christ that is such good news. Ultimately, our king was going to sacrifice himself in the ultimate way and become the great sacrifice that would save his kingdom. But he never gave up his kingship or authority to do that. God gave him that, both to live on earth as king and have all authority. And then he had authority over diseases. He had authority over the demons. He had authority over men. And he knew all of their hearts. And he was working with them to understand that he was their king. And that they needed to look forward to the fact when his kingship would become universal. That after he was made this sacrifice, that God was going to establish him as the king of heaven and of earth. Jesus, right after his resurrection, told the disciples that all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth, Matthew 28 and verse 18. And based on that, they were to go out and further preach the gospel, which should result in people responding to that, to repent, to confess him as their king, to recognize and understand it, and then to be baptized, as John had been teaching that they would, and Jesus taught them how. To be baptized by the Holy Spirit and with fire. That cleansing, that purification process, when they would be in the likeness of his death, burial, and resurrection. So we see the basic gospel being taught from the beginning, and Jesus himself taught it about himself. When it says the light went into the world in Galilee through this teaching, this is the light he was talking about. That Jesus was the light, and it was the message about him, the authority that he had, the sacrifice he would make, and the hope that he would give others. Well, we find that the disciples continue to take this as an example all the way through. And we're going to study the Gospels and see that Jesus teaches this basic same thing over and over and over. And it is the Jewish responsibility to look at the Old Testament and see that Jesus was right. And Jesus was the prophesied one. And he fulfilled all prophecy so that he could be that perfect sacrifice. The disciples then can carry on through the book of Acts and through all of the letters of Paul and of Peter and of John, James and John. We read about how Christ did fulfill that, and he is the hope that is the good news of the gospel. If you look with me in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we see a very basic passage. I actually really love this passage because Paul really gets back to the basics. By the time you've studied the first 14 chapters of 1 Corinthians, you find that the church has got a lot of issues in this congregation in particular, but any church could, that they need to address. And there's a lot of maturing that needs to go on among members and then also with the church as a whole, and a lot of work that they need to be about. But in chapter 15, he kind of gets back to the basics. And Paul says in chapter 15, verse 1, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel." Now, notice that he's talking to people who are clearly Christians. They've already obeyed the gospel, and Paul's still teaching them the gospel. "I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand, by which you are also saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. 4. I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, and that he arose again the third day according to the Scriptures." Now he gives evidence after that Peter saw Jesus and the 12 saw Jesus. He was seen above 500 at one time at one point there. So plenty of people saw this evidence. But they saw evidence that the gospel had been both preached and then fulfilled and was continuing to be preached. Brethren, I just say that when you go to teach somebody the gospel and when you evaluate yourself for what you understood, what you knew when you were saved by the gospel, what you need to know about it is that you are responding when you believe in the gospel to the message that Jesus died, was buried, and was raised again. And that your baptism was to put you in that likeness. Having repented of your sins, you realize you were dead without the blood of Christ. You realize that he is the authority in your life, the king, to be able to tell you what to do to be saved. And so you confess Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, like Peter did. Make that great confession. And then you are baptized, as Romans 6 says, to be in the likeness of his death, burial, and resurrection. All right? You are responding to the gospel when you follow that pattern. And Paul says that I taught you at the beginning and you received it and you stand in it now, whether you realize it or not. But what I told you then is what I'm going to tell you again, and I'm never going to change the message. It is the gospel of Jesus Christ that he died for you, he was buried, and he rose again on the third day. And he's very evidently alive and therefore can very evidently make you alive again. I just tell you that after all the teaching and preaching that Paul could do and all the messages that he did, the work that he did for a year and a half in Corinth, and then this letter and another letter, he comes back and he says, the heart of my message, the heart of my work, is for you to recognize that you learned the true gospel. The good news was that Jesus died for you, but he lives again to save you from your sins. And your work now is to tell that message to others, relying on it all the days yourself, that you believe these things are ultimately fully true and that you teach others that they're true and can save them like you have been saved by them. So he told the Corinthians here that I preached it unto you in verse 1, you received it, and here you stand. So if you're ready to respond to the gospel, then you've heard it taught. Because that's what it is right there. I can give you more detail. We can talk about it further. But that's the gospel message. Christ died for you, but he overcame death and wants to give you life after death through that same gospel message by you receiving it and then standing in it. So our life as a Christian, our faithfulness to God is to stand in the hope that of that basic gospel message that is the good news that the king of our lives is the great sacrifice of our lives, and in him we stand. So the response to the gospel is going to always be the same. It was the same when Jesus taught it. It was the same when Paul taught it years later. It's the same as when I teach it here tonight. That if you need to respond to the gospel or you need to stand back up on the basic fundamental gospel message, then that time is afforded to you right now and any time. But it's an urgent thing to do, and right now you're afforded a special opportunity as we stand to sing and encourage you.
Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for blessing us with another time that we've been able to come together as fellow brothers and sisters in Christ and to study your word and to further our knowledge of what you wish for us to do and how you wish for us to live here on this earth. We pray that we are able to take these things and apply them in our lives in a way that's pleasing to you. And every decision that we make, please help us to always look to you and your word. Please be with us as we leave this place and the safety of it. Please keep us safe in the rain that you've blessed us with, and to be able to be back here and be able to meet again as fellow brothers and sisters and your son, Jesus. And it's in his name that we pray. Amen.